Welcome to the Green Business All-Star Podcast, where we interview and spotlight green entrepreneurs and other environmental business leaders who are making a positive impact on our planet while making a profit. With your host, Anne Meador. Hey now! In today's episode, we have the privilege of diving into the fascinating world of sustainable packaging with Suvi Hammi, the CEO and co-founder of Sulipac. Suvi brings a wealth of expertise in biomaterials research, backed by a passion for environmental conservation. With a background in biochemistry and medical biomaterials, she started her remarkable journey from academia to entrepreneurship, driven by a deep respect for nature and a determination to make a positive impact on our planet. As a co-founder of Sulipac, Suvi is at the forefront of a revolution in packaging, developing innovative solutions to combat plastic waste and usher in a new era of sustainability. From cosmetic packaging to 3D printed furniture, Sulipac's bio-based and recyclable materials are setting a new standard for eco-friendly alternatives in a wide range of industries. Suvi shares great green business advice about putting together a team, coming up with a minimal viable product, finding a community to help you along your journey, scaling your business, and a whole lot more. Join me as I learn about Suvi's inspiring story, explore the groundbreaking work of Sulipac, and discover how their commitment to sustainability is reshaping the future of packaging. Please make sure to listen to the end where I'll share some green business ideas resulting from this episode. All right, enjoy. So today on the show, we have Suvi Hammi, CEO and co-founder of Sulipac Limited. She has extensive experience in biomaterials research and development with an MSc in biochemistry and a PhD in medical biomaterials from the University of Tampere, Finland. Before founding Sulipac in 2016 with her colleague Laura, Suvi worked in leadership positions within academia in Finland and the Netherlands for almost 10 years. She's been the key person gathering the passionate people behind Sulipac. Suvi has a deep respect for nature and chose the path of entrepreneurship to use her expertise for the good of our planet. Sulipac materials are developed to save the world from plastic waste, and Lord knows we need that. Welcome to the show, Suvi. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. Very happy to be here today. Yeah, so I started my career as a researcher, and biomaterials came very early stages into my studies. And what we did actually, we adipose stem cells together with different biodegradable biomaterials, and we were doing tissue engineering applications. So actually growing jaw bones, so treating... Oh. Yes, and treating really, yes, these defects around the jaw. And from there, actually, that was very important for us because we understood what are really the adverse effects of plastics and what are the adverse effects of microplastics and the accumulation. So that was the main worry what we had. And that is the reason why we founded Sulipac, because we really wanted to utilize, together with Laura Tilkkonen and Raija Salo, who has very similar background as I do, and Antti Pärssinen, and our biomaterial expertise to really solve something which is important for us, so the global plastic waste problem.
Wow. So it was just you and Laura who originally came up with the idea? Are you co-founders in Sulipac?
Yes. And then we have also Antti Pärssinen, who is a co-founder, and he's a chemist from his background. And he has been also very much involved also as Laura in the core innovation, the biomaterials, what we utilize, and also the addition of side stream wood. So these biocomposites were Antti's special expertise, and he had previous experience in commercializing this kind of products for actually medical applications as well.
Gotcha. So Sulipac is fascinating. You do a broad range of products. So let's hear about that in a nutshell, your company, and then we'll dig deep.
Yeah. So what do? We develop and sell these sustainable, beautiful, and functional materials that can replace conventional plastic in a wide range of different applications, from cosmetic packaging to 3D printed furniture. And our materials, they are bio-based and recyclable by design. And the key property really is that they don't leave any persistent microplastics nor toxic load behind.
Wow. Is this something new you just said about 3D printing, correct? Is that something new? Because 3D printing is the wave of the future. So what a great application.
Yes. So that's something we launched last year. So it's possible to buy Sulipac materials as filaments, but also as granules. And this furniture is one of the newest applications what we are investigating with our partners. So very interesting area. And as said, like there is variety of application within the 3D printing industry and what the future brings, we are very happy to take that.
I've only seen small-scale 3D printing. Yeah. So large-scale, are there, you know, manufacturing plants out there that are furniture that's a lot larger that you use, so sell your products to them?
Yes.
And then are there a lot of those big manufacturers in Finland? Yeah.
Well, not in Finland, well, of course, also in Finland, but not only in Finland. So, okay. And these huge 3D printing items, they are always manufactured from the granules. And that is the newest addition, what we made to our portfolio, that it's really possible to make, well, even boats, if you would like to make a boat out of Sulapac material. So, that's what they're doing, yes.
Yeah, I find this fascinating. Now, you do see a lot of packaging, you know, biopackaging these days. You don't see enough of it, of course. We want to see more. But to use this biomaterial instead of plastic in these other applications is amazing. Let's talk about some other applications for your product.
Yeah, so yes. So absolutely, we started from the cosmetics, right? And there, actually, we still are in a phase of piloting the first project with big global brands. And as you're well aware, like our customers Chanel and Shiseido, we have the first project in. And that's very important that we continue to work with these and then other global brands to really bring this material to the market. And then beyond packaging, there is also many things what are made from plastics. If we go, for instance, hygiene products like toothbrushes, for instance, they are like the best applications where this biodegradability has an advantage are the ones which have very short life cycle. So if you use it only just a few weeks or so on, so then there is the big benefits. And then, of course, if we talk about single-use plastic products like straws and cutlery, that is something where we have been focusing already a few years. With that said, I think also in these cutlery and straws, reusability should be considered. So what is actually truly sustainable is not any product, even if it would be made from biomaterials, if you can only use it for a short time. So always it's important to include the design criteria that the material could be, or the product could be reused and especially then recycled afterwards.
Yeah, I see that your materials are recyclable by design.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's great. Yeah, this, you do so many different things. I'm having a hard time focusing on what I want to. Let's go back again. So you were doing something else and you realized, you know, you want to do something different and help the planet.
Yeah.
How did you go from, you know, in here thinking about this is what I want to do to actually doing it? Did you start off just brainstorming? You did your research? Did you have a consultant? You know, how did you really get the ball rolling? Because that's a hard part, right? We can all have great ideas, but if we don't put those into action, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, I think the first thing what happened was kind of really the decision that we want to utilize our biomaterial expertise to solve something which is very close to our hearts. That was the first thing what happened. And then, of course, because both of us, Laura and me, we had been like a long time in the academy, like doing our PhDs, and I was an adjunct professor at University of Tampere and so on. So, of course, what was important is to find somebody who has established a business and made a spin-off from my academic work, and Antti had done it. So that's why we discussed in the very beginning a lot with Antti, how he did actually make the change from the universities to have his first startup and so on. So the first thing to do is definitely to find around you people who have done it. So that's the way to really avoid also the big mistakes, right? You may have great ideas, but somebody in that space, in that specific area of business have done it earlier. So find those people, talk to those people, and then really modify your minimal viable product and then go to talk to the customers. That's how it starts.
Awesome. And so how about for people that don't know anybody who's already been in the business? What do you think is a good way to find those people?
Well, for instance, in Finland, we have this Finnish startup community. And yeah, of course, to join that, you should have the company, right? But there you find the like-minded people that work with the similar problems and just developing your network. So there is for sure in different countries, similar communities, but go to where startup founders gather and talk to the other founders. And there is multiple events, I'm sure, in each country where you can get. And in Finland, for instance, we have Schloss, where every autumn there is gathering of founders and then also investors, and then they can meet up. And then also people who are interested in startups, just to talk with those people. So find the events where you have founders. That would be my first advice.
Oh, that's great advice. So you started off with cosmetic packaging. And then how long did you do that until you expanded? Like, you wanted to master the first products and then before you moved on to new ones?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And still we are scaling that part up, right? So we have the first products on the market, and definitely we want to expand our material use with these customers. And that's one of the core business area. So we haven't abandoned that. We are actually growing that as one of our most important business area, what we want to grow. And then when we learned what are the key problems of the customers to solve and how our material could be the solution for these problems, and then went through this huge process of having a set of requirements and how to really meet those requirements, how to develop the material to have all the high quality standards set by these global brands. After that, we had created something that we understood that, okay, this is the process what needs to happen before you launch a product with a global brand. So then it's easier to copy-paste this process to other applications. And of course, you have already then materials what are originally created for cosmetic packaging. But of course, for instance, recycled PET, that is used in cosmetic packaging, but also other applications. So where do these Sulapac materials, which are designed to replace oil-based plastic, where these similar properties can be utilized? And then we started testing, really looking into new business areas. For instance, as I said, the hygiene products, luxury packaging is very near cosmetic packaging. And then the food service sector, which has been also our second core area with the straws and cutlery. We had recipes there where these recipes can be utilized. And that's where how it develops further.
Gotcha. So yeah, I would think the materials used would be totally different from having a packaging that you want to biodegrade, you know, quickly after it's done its use, compared to making a material that's going to be used in 3D printing, right? And making a boat, you want that to last longer, right? So when you're developing or formulating these different materials, how do you test them to see how long they're going to last and how long it's going to take them to degrade?
Yeah, very good point. And actually, biodegradation or composting, that is, although our materials are biodegradable and compostable, that is not the most sustainable end-of-life scenario for our materials. As I said, they are recyclable by design. What we mean by that is that our materials are chemically and mechanically recyclable. So actually, we want to have our materials back and then recycle them to new Sulapac materials. And we can already today make various recipes, especially for the cosmetic packaging, from recycled biodegradable biopolymers, which come from waste that has been collected earlier from post-consumer or post-industrial streams. And that's exactly the fact that, yes, our material is biodegradable if it ends up to the soil or in the marine condition. But we don't want that when it has, for instance, the cosmetic products that it starts to biodegrade, right? So how actually the biodegradation starts, you need to have the soil or the marine microbes to activate that biodegradation process. And of course, moisture and high temperature also accelerates that. But we have tested our material so that it really doesn't biodegrade in usage only after. If it accidentally ends up in the nature, it would start biodegrading.
So you buy post-recycled consumer material, but do you also have a take-back program for stuff that you make?
Yes, that's something what we can offer. So we can source our raw materials as post-consumer and post-industrial waste. And at the same time, what we kind of launched, for instance, in the Slush event last autumn is these reusable cups. So they can be utilized multiple times, up to 100 times, and you can dishwash them. But after use, we can collect them and then take those cups back to our partner network where we chemically recycle them back to the raw materials what we can utilize to make new Sulapac cups or packaging. And we have created this network, not only in Finland, but we have partners that we are able to serve, for instance, global brands in the cosmetic fields, but also in the food service area, that they can collect with us their waste. And then we can just transfer that to our partner network, make again new materials through chemical recycling.
Gotcha. I'm looking at your website now. And then, so you have a page about your take it back, make an impact. Very clever.
Yes.
So let's talk about what are some of the other products that you make? We covered a little bit, you know, cosmetics and 3D printing. What else are you doing?
Yeah. So maybe the food service, as a little bit I mentioned, is important. Right. So the straws and the cutlery, and then also these cups and so on. I think they are very important. And now, especially like taking into account this packaging and packaging waste regulation, which is hopefully soon in its final format. So there is need for reusable packaging and food service items. So that is where we want to really answer the need. So there is, for instance, for fast food restaurants, there is already in Germany and France a need, for instance, to offer the consumers reusable packaging, food packaging. And that's something where our materials are very superior compared to traditional plastic. So of course, traditional plastic is reusable, right? But then you have the microplastic emissions, you might have these toxic additives. And then in the end of the day, the chemical recycling of conventional plastic is really not that efficient compared to what we have created with our partner network for Sulapac materials. And also other bio-based biodegradable materials have much more superior chemical recycling method.
Can you tell me, unfortunately, I live in the United States. I love that I live in the United States, but we're far behind other countries as far as, you know, circular economy and, you know, mandatory cycling, however you want to put it. So what is the rule that you were talking that's going to be put through soon that's going to be required?
Packaging and packaging waste regulation. That is okay. Now there is actually it's the trilogues where the Commission and Council and the Parliament, they are having discussions of the final forward, and then the member states will vote as well for or against this the final forward format of this regulation. So that will come in place hopefully in few months. That's what we are expecting.
Yeah, that's super exciting. I'll keep my fingers crossed is be a leader for the world. I know, you know, a lot of this is proprietary, but can you give us an idea of really what these materials are made from?
Yes. So if we talk about bio-based and biodegradable polymers, so you can get them from plants, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, of course, the origin, the first origin for our material. Because as said, we can also utilize recycled materials. So we actually get it from waste that is collected in closed loops. And those materials have been originally bio-based and biodegradable. And then these bio-based and biodegradable biopolymers, whether they are recycled or not already once, then we mix them with the other sustainables like naturally occurring clay minerals or side stream wood, which is also another waste stream. And through this mixing with sustainable fillers, we are capable of creating these unique properties for our materials that they, for instance, dishwasher proof and microwave safe. But at the same time, if they end up in the ocean, they biodegrade there faster than, for instance, like this cup, faster compared to a piece of wood the same size.
Thank you for sharing that. I have a question I ask other people, pretty much everybody, about certifications. Is there some kind of certification that you have or multiple certifications? What are they and why are they important?
Yes, we absolutely have multiple certifications, mostly on proving the biodegradability. So industrial composting certifications, bio-based certifications, and then also we are soon to have certification around this utilizing the recycled content. And of course, we have these food contact approvals, and then we have a lot of third-party testing to show that there is no toxic load or harmful load for the environment on the humans. And then also we have third-party calculations on the carbon footprint, And it's very important to have either certifications or the third party proof to show the sustainability from multiple angles. Because if somebody just says that it's a material or product is sustainable and there is no certifications behind it or any scientific evidence and work and testing done via third party, then that's suspicious, right? So you really need to have proof that your claims are true.
And how is this communicated with your customers? And I would assume, but I shouldn't assume, your customers are big companies, right? It's not the little guys. So how is that communicated to them, just through paperwork and reports? And
yes. So the sustainability, it's a little bit complex topic. And there are some reporting requirements or also set by the European Union and so on. But then there is, like, if you look at different global brands' sustainability report, they may emphasize different things. They may emphasize the positive effects to the biodiversity. They may emphasize the low carbon footprint, that scale, recycled content, bio-based content. So we always want to understand and verify from our customer what is especially important for them and make sure that we can then match their needs on sustainability so that the customers can then meet their sustainability targets by changing from plastic to Sulapac materials. That is basically what we do. And then we prove the properties through the certifications and third-party testing. And then we also have all of this in our website, all this, like, where the evidence is based, what are the certifications, etc.
So you do have big customers, big name, big corporations. Chanel was one you mentioned before, and that's on your website. Can you share with us some other companies we might be familiar with?
Well, at least the Shiseido. I'm sure that's also very familiar. Like, we had their Yle was the brand, what we launched together a few years ago. And then we have, for instance, launched these reusable cups together with Marimekko. That is maybe another one well-known, but I think those are the global, most well-known global brands what we work together today publicly. But there is, of course, we have in the pipeline, we are working with others, and hopefully within the next 12 to 18 months, we are able to co-launch some new exciting products together.
Oh, great. And on the other end, how about small businesses? Do you work with any of those, like, startups that want to, you know, I have a great idea for this product and I want to use your material to make it. I don't want to make it out of plastics.
Yes, absolutely. Those are very important. And for instance, we started with the Finnish companies like Naviter in the very beginning, and they are very important for us. And actually, just last year, we started collaboration with ABG Europe, a distributor of Sulapac packaging. And they have a MOQ of, for certain products, 20, and for some 1,000 pieces. So very, very small brands and startups can start utilizing our materials through ABG Europe.
That's great. Is there a website associated with that I could link to in the show notes?
Yes, absolutely. I can share after.
Yeah, at a later, you don't have to do that right now.
Yes.
For sure. Keeping with that focus of the smaller companies, say, I have a great idea. I come to you. I want to make cell phone cases. It's a good example for a small company. So would I use, like, the specs, say, I want this type of plastic, and then I would come to you and you would give me the equivalent of a biomaterial to make it? Or, like, how, because I don't know anything about it, but I want to make these. So how would I come to you and say, I need the material to make these?
Yeah, very good question. So we have commercialized like 13 different recipes. They have been originally designed for the cosmetics or the food service sector. But as I said, they can be utilized and also in other applications. And for instance, it's the 3D printing recipes are similar, very similar to our straw recipes. And this recipe group or family can be also utilized in thermoforming. So there are multiple ways that these existing commercialized recipes can be utilized.
What kind of forming did you say?
Thermoforming. So using heat to, like, for sheets to form different shapes.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just wanted to...
No worries. That's a good clarification. And for instance, if you were showing me this phone case, like, how to do that, if none of our existing recipes is capable of having such a requirements, what is needed to make a phone case, for instance, then there is, of course, opportunity to make a joint development with us. So we could do that. But of course, there is a certain cost if we do an R&D project, and there should be a certain volumes around it too. Because of course, it's depending what is the gap on in the recipe development compared to our existing recipes, whether it's just a fine tuning of an existing recipe or whether we would need to make from, for instance, very soft material to own case, what we don't like, silicone-like material. So that is always, of course, included. But that's everything is possible, but there is always, of course, a cost to make something new.
Of course, yeah. You can do basically anything in this world if you have enough money.
Yes, exactly.
But no, that's great. I really appreciate the fact that you work with smaller companies too. I think that's really important.
Yeah, absolutely.
So keeping with that, what kind of advice could you give to a small company or somebody just starting out, to our listeners who want to start a green business just in general? We can talk about it in general, or if they wanted to make a specific product made out of, you know, non-plastic materials and upcycled materials.
So of course, like if... maybe having, for instance, a cosmetic brand as an example. So definitely we are there to help through our partners, like how to change from plastic to Sulapak kind of materials. But in general, like whenever thinking of having a green business or business in general, so I think it's very important to go to the first customers and identify the first customers and verify that the product, what is in plans, that's solving a problem of a customer. So that's the most important part. And then, of course, there is important to, in the beginning, to really understand the values of the company, but then at the same time, understanding how the world works. So without creating a profitable business, it's very hard to have an impact. So always adding the sustainability as a part of the business concept, that is the only way to build it. And there always need to be an upside for the customer and the company itself. So if it's just kind of a really, for instance, collecting the waste from the oceans, that might be more a charity type of a program, charity type of a business than a real business that can lead to profitable business.
Gotcha. I think you bring up an important point. You know, we all have great ideas, especially the entrepreneurial type, and it sounds great to us, but that doesn't mean it's a great option for other people. So you really want to make sure that before you really go down that rabbit hole, so to speak, that you're creating something that there's a need for. Right?
Yes, absolutely. Need that somebody is willing to pay to solve that problem. Yes. And if there is sustainability can be a core of that, great. And maybe the challenge in general in sustainable tech companies is that in addition to the tech company challenges, which is always related to the when growing a company and so on, in sustainable tech, you have always these regulations, right? They are constantly changing. You may not have, like in Sulapak case, you don't have relevant international standards in place or regulations in place. Like now, first time we see, once again, in this packaging and packaging waste regulation that most probably the microplastics are there raised as hazardous substances. We have been here 8 years, and this is the first time we start to see these additions to the regulations. Before that, it has been very hard definition, what is persistent microplastic in general, and then also the definition of plastic in single-use plastic directive have been a bit maybe misleading, because they're all chemically modified biopolymers have been defined as plastics. So that actually means that when you fry an egg and there is new covalent bonds formed, then it becomes as plastic. And we don't consider that fried egg is in the same bucket as oil-based conventional plastic. So,
wow. Can you go back? You just blew my mind right there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Can you start over? So with the definition of plastic?
Yes. In the single-use plastic directive, the definition of plastic is there that all chemically modified biopolymers are defined as plastic. So if you interpret that like in very extreme levels, so even fried egg becomes a plastic according to the EU directive. And that definitely was not the purpose of that. The purpose of that directive was really to decrease the amount of plastics. But unfortunately, what it has caused is that, yes, single-use plastic cutlery, for instance, is banned, but reusable cutlery is fine. So instead of using thin plastic, thick plastic is allowed.
Wow. Well, I've dealt a lot with regulations. I do every day. And it, you know, there are always those things, you know, the people writing them are up here and in, you know, theory and really don't understand the impact of what they're saying and the different applications or interpretations. Cause no, that's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's very important that like players like us talk very frequently with these policymakers, that because they cannot be expert in everything. So here, what most probably happened that the scientific definition was just not there because there was so strong voice of plastic lobbying industry. And they, of course, can be some kind of an expert. And if they claim that the plastic is very green, if you just mechanically recycle it, it maybe becomes as a kind of a industry standard, which is not the most sustainable one. So we need to really keep up our voice and educate also the policymakers what is, from the scientific perspective, what is sustainable and what is not.
Now, a lot of times it's not a good thing here, but in the United States, you know, we have lobbyists, which are huge. Do you have the same thing over there that would lobby
Europe
for the scientific aspect of things in this case? Yeah.
Yeah. And for the industry, there is a huge power for the plastic industry in general. And then Sulapak type of companies are, of course, very small players against this fossil plastic industry. But we are very loud, luckily.
Yes. Very loud and very passionate, right?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. Let's flip it around now for people who may be interested in working for a green business, a sustainable business. Are you? I didn't ask you how large your company is. Can you tell me how many employees you have so we can get an idea of the scale? Are you big, small, moderate?
Yeah, I think we are still in a small scale, like plus 20 people. Definitely kind of in the space that we have showed that our cosmetic business is very strong area where we are focusing and scaling up, and also these new opportunities and new business areas through the already developed recipe portfolio is something what we are investigating, and also the food service area. And then we are also investigating a totally new material group, which would not be defined plastic, even in this very strict definition. So all chemically modified biopolymers. So that doesn't even include those. So that's something what we are investigating also.
If someone wanted to work for your company, if you were in a position to hire, what kind of employees would you be looking for? Would you just be looking for the people with the scientific background? Would you be looking also for like marketing people?
Yes, I think all kind of, like if you think what are the main areas where our team is kind of divided, we have the product people, so the R&D people, technical support people there, more with the scientific background maybe. Then we have sourcing and supply chain team members, and then we have marketing and sales, and of course then financials and then administration in general. So all these parts are very important. And we need them all. And definitely in the face of scaling up, I'm sure we need to strengthen each of these areas.
And do you have I'm looking on your website. Does your company have a mission? You have a mission statement? Or what would you say in one sentence what your company does?
Yeah.
Those are two different things. I'm sorry. So your mission, like what's your end goal?
Yeah. So our mission is to save the world from plastic waste. And we aim to make Sulapak the new sustainable standards replacing plastics.
That's a huge mission.
Yes. And we can't do it alone. We need to do that together with consumers, with brands, and with converters, all the players in the value chain.
And speaking of that, who do you partner with? Do you partner with any, I'm going back to the marketing part, you know, social media influencers, or how? I know you're not really, you know, consumer to consumer.
We are B2B, definitely.
Yeah. Yes. So how do you market your stuff?
So definitely kind of the way how we think to make name recognized internationally is to work with the global brands. So it's very important for us to, for instance, that we can utilize our name alongside Chanel. So we made a joint press release when we launched the products, and the same with Yle, Shiseido. And that is our strategy, to really have always the brands co-branding with us, so that for consumers, hopefully in 10 years, Sulapak brand means that its sustainability has been taken in all the steps of the value chain into account, and it's a high quality product. That's our aim.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great. And again, how long have you been in business for?
We founded Sulabug in 2016.
2016. Wow. So we talked a little bit about this, but where else do you see your company going in the future?
So definitely we need to concentrate on the business areas where we can penetrate the market fastest. So there is too little of any type of green material or biomaterials at the moment replacing plastics. It's 460 million tons of plastic that is produced every year. And 85% of that globally ends up burned or in the nature. So that needs to be changed, right? We really need to have Sulabug and then other materials coming to the market. And we have identified that cosmetics is very important area in order to do the brand recognition and position also these global brands to be innovative and sustainable. But then the food service sector is where we see also to make a big impact in volumes, because there are also a lot of plastic is utilized. And actually we are working a lot in the Middle East area. And there, we don't have in there, and of course outside EU, we don't have this plastic definition of chemically modified biopolymers being plastic. So it's easier for us, and also in the US, it's easier for us to sell our products. So of course, going into new geographical areas in the food service sector, and also in the reusability type of application, so meaning cups and lunch boxes and so on.
Thanks for that. I appreciate the fact too that you said, you know, you can't do it by yourself and it's going to take other companies to do that as well. Do you find that more other companies popping up around the world trying to solve the same problem?
Yes, there is luckily various companies doing these biodegradable and bio-based materials like us. And also in Finland, we have these beautiful companies like Puptic, for instance, and also Woodio. They all have these bio-based materials, and we don't see them as competitors. We see them on the same mission as us, so really replacing the fossil-based plastics and bringing a much more sustainable product to the market, which can hopefully protect also biodiversity in the long run.
I know it's very complex science. What about people who maybe want to start? They're hearing what you said and they said, okay, I want to start doing that. Do you have any advice for them? I mean, we talked about, you know, hanging out, getting inspiration and learning from other entrepreneurs through, you know, startup organizations. Any other words of advice you could help our listeners with if they wanted to go into something similar?
Yeah. So go immediately, even having the company, to the customers. Ask if your products or material, whatever sustainable innovation you may have, is solving a true problem of a customer. That's where to really start. So even before, I would say that's even important before founding the company. It's really understanding whether you have something that is solving small or big company's problem, and then try to integrate the sustainability as strongly as you can. It's going to be hard because if, for instance, Sulabug materials would be the same price compared to plastic, everybody would use them. But there is always a premium if you want to choose something sustainably. That is the hardest part. So how to really have the price point that it's you can really penetrate faster market, but at the same time really do an impact, right? So what, for instance, what we chose is like this long way. So it took like 5 years for us to really develop the first recipes that pass through this needs of global brands. We started that very early by talking to the global brand instead of making something easy, for instance, a plastic diet. So there is a lot of these bioplastic wood composites that are just made from bio-based conventional plastic and then combined with wood. So actually you get all this microplastic, all these problems with conventional plastic, but it's less plastic. We don't think that is a true sustainable solution. So also, that's attached to the value. So how do you want to have like a bit more difficult but more impact solution, or do you want to do something fast? That is very important to also to have that kind of a discussion in the beginning, because both can be done, but it's then in the matter of the values. What do you really are on doing?
Right. So maybe a good way to start would be, you know, just finding a product, that a type of product out there that has really bad packaging, and maybe just going after that and researching it and seeing if there's a need, if the companies are open to it, but maybe go after you know, like a lot of companies do cutlery. So I don't know if that's a great example. Mm. People think, you know, outside the box, but maybe that's a good way to start, is just with the product. I mean, we see it every day. Just look around.
Yeah.
I don't want to look around my office because then I feel really bad, but just look around and see what products you're using that has using, you know, plastic, whether it's for packaging or, you know, part of the material that it's made out of.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I go down the rabbit hole of feeling guilty a lot of times when I think too much about stuff like that. Like, we all can do better, but we don't have to, we can't do it all at the same time, right?
Yes, exactly. So, you need to choose your battles. Otherwise, yeah, it might be too hard to even win the first battle.
All right. So we're getting close to the end of our interview. So let's wrap it up by any other advice you want to share with our listeners, and then talk about how people can reach you, your company, and then maybe other resources, if you can think of any now, or get back to me, that could help our listener, you know, understand, learn.
Yeah. So we will share in this podcast also that our website, and also mm-hmm. there is this ABG Europe, if that's interesting to start utilizing Sulapak packaging. Maybe good to think about kind of the team, who you want to found a company. Mm. So important then when gathering the team is to also make an adventure inside yourself, like know who you are, what are your advantages, disadvantages. Try to find people around you, of course, who you trust, but then at the same time are enough different compared to who you are, so they can really give you different perspectives to the product, what you are, for instance, designing. So if you just do the company with people who are very similar to yourself, it might be hard to actually have the best solution or the minimal viable product. Making the minimal viable product really needs different opinions, strong opinions, and different perspectives. And then with the customer, matching with the customer needs. And then you actually are able to usually create something new and innovative. So that would be maybe my last advice.
That's fantastic advice to end with. So we know your website is www.sulapak.com. That's SULAPAC.com. And how else can the listeners reach you or reach out to you, contact you, connect?
Yes, we have our Facebook and then also these other social media channels. There definitely you can send questions and our team is very happy to help. And also in our website, there is, if something, a Sulapak product is interesting, so you can fill up the form and then we will look at what are your needs and get back to you as soon as possible.
All right, great. Is there anything you want to share about, more you want to share about your company, or, you know, what kind of products should we go out there and buy because it uses Sulapak materials?
Yeah, so it's, if you want to make more sustainable choices, so maybe if you don't find something labeled Sulapak, so mm-hmm. if a material is biodegradable and not oxo biodegradable, meaning biodegradable.
I'm sorry, and not what?
Oxo biodegradable. That is another maybe a little bit scientific word. It's at least banned in Europe, but I'm not sure what is the status in US. But
can you say that again? I'm sorry, I didn't catch the first part.
OXO biodegradable.
Okay. OXO biodegradable. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that.
Yes. So that just means that additives have been added to conventional plastics so that it degrades faster to microplastics. So I think that is the most craziest product what you have. So definitely not sustainable. So if there is a wording biodegradable, that is a great start. And then always, if you see certifications or like certified bio-based content, that's always better than fossil-based. So that is a good starting point, having a bio-based and biodegradable product instead of fossil-based and non-biodegradable or non-oxo biodegradable.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I've learned a lot during our interview, and that's one I never heard, that oxo biodegradable. So
yeah.
Fantastic. All right. Well, great. Thank you so much for being on the show and being so sharing with your knowledge and everything. You've been great. And good luck. Good luck. And everybody out there, keep an eye out for Sulapak on packaging or on any kind of materials. Right?
Yes.
Is it spelled out? Do you have a logo people should be looking for? Or?
Yes, mainly it's our name, Sulapak. So it can Sulapak. Be attached okay. to straws or cutlery or then with the brand's yeah. name so that they utilize Sulapak packaging. Some brands advertise that more and some a little bit less, but our company name is definitely a guarantee that sustainability is taken into account.
Awesome. So now that it's in my mind and everybody else's mind, we'll be hyper-focused to look at it. If we see it, it'll pop in our head. So again, thank you so much for your generosity and for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Anna.
I hope you enjoyed this enlightening journey through the world of sustainable packaging with Suvi Hemmi, CEO and co-founder of Sulipac. As we finish the episode, let's recap some of my key takeaways. Sulipac is leading the way in developing sustainable bio-based materials to replace conventional plastics in various applications, from cosmetics, packaging, to 3D printed furniture. Collaboration is key. Partnerships with global brands and small businesses and startups are driving the adoption of eco-friendly packaging solutions and accelerating the transition towards a circular economy. Certifications and third-party testing play a crucial role in ensuring the sustainability and safety of packaging materials, providing consumers with confidence in their choices. Regulatory frameworks, such as the packaging and packaging waste regulations, are essential in driving systematic change and incentivizing the adoption of sustainable practices across industries. Here's some advice from Suvi if you plan on starting your own business. First, identify customers and find out what problems they need solved and are willing to pay for it. Make sure you leverage your existing expertise and passion. Surround yourself and speak with people who have experience because it helps you avoid mistakes. Could all do with avoiding fewer mistakes. Make sure to develop your minimal viable product and then take it to your friends first and get their feedback. Find a startup community near you, or I guess you could also do it online, where you can find like-minded people and you can talk to other founders. In order to have an impact, you need a profitable business and then add the sustainable components afterwards. As promised in the beginning of the episode, here are some green business ideas that I came up with after my interview with Suvi. How about developing your own sustainable packaging solutions? What category of items do you see every day that are made from single-use plastic? Is there an alternative to the packaging that you can think of replacing it with? Or developing your own packaging? Better yet, use Sulipac packaging. Second idea is to become a supplier of eco-friendly party supplies, such as cutlery, cups, centerpieces, and other party supplies. You can even go further and start your own green event planning and catering company that specializes in organizing eco-friendly events and provides plant-based catering options aligning with the growing demand for sustainable event services. I hope this episode has inspired you to rethink your approach to packaging and consider the environmental impact of your choices. Together, we can create a more sustainable future for generations to come. Here's cheers to bio-based packaging. Thanks so much for listening to the Green Business All-Star Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, I'd appreciate it if you would subscribe, like, and or follow the show on your favorite podcast app. Also appreciate it if you would leave us a review to help us share our mission and the mission of our guests to make the world a better place while sustaining a comfortable lifestyle. Peace to the planet, people, and making a profit.